Dr. Jennifer Van Oss is an assistant professor in the Department of Dairy Science at UW-Madison, and recently her and some of her colleagues conducted a survey of 416 dairies across the United States, and one of the questions they asked was about calf housing, and the findings were pretty interesting.
We did this survey because we wanted to get up-to-date data on the state of our industry today, and we found that over 3/4 of the people who chose to respond housed their pre-weaned heifers individually at this time, and that 97% of the heifers were housed individually because some of the larger operations do that. But we have reason to think that this is a changing trend, so we wanted to get the data now as we're talking about pairing and group housing and see what direction the industry is moving in a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was your reaction to those numbers? Was that on par with what you thought it would be?
It was actually a lot higher in terms of the number of heifers that are housed individually. So the most recent USDA data said that 70% of heifers are housed individually in the U.S., and their sampling techniques were different from ours. And based on my conversations with producers in our region, we thought that might be different. But we just closed the survey. We're still analyzing, and we have yet to break it down by region and herd size, so mm-hmm. that will be really interesting to see the variation in practices.
Now, I want to make it clear, you are not against single calf housing, but your research shows that there are benefits to group housing or pair housing when it comes to calves. What is the research telling you?
Yeah, so in terms of individual calf housing, there was a reason that that became the common practice, because before, actually, calves were housed with social companions, and in part that was due to concerns about calf health, but we've learned a lot in the intervening decades that calf health can be managed. It's very complicated. Obviously, it's a complex issue, but it can be managed without isolating calves from each other through other best practices, and more recent research has shown that because cattle are herd animals, that this social contact has a lot of benefits that we've been able to quantify. And so raising calves in pairs or small groups can lead to benefits in terms of them developing appropriate social behaviors with others of their species, which they need to, because when they are adults, they are housed socially. And there are also other benefits in terms of their learning, their ability to handle new situations, their ability to deal with stress, particularly around weaning. And there's also been a number of studies showing performance benefits. And so these calves consume more solid feeds, they grow better, and that's good not only for the calves, but for the dairy producer as well.
Something I pulled out, does it make the calves more resilient to stress when they're housed together?
Yes, in a few ways. So what the research has shown is that when calves are going through weaning, we know this is a stressful transition time where they're being given a reduced milk allowance. And so one of the behaviors that they show is vocalizing, so bawling or bellowing. And studies have shown that calves that are housed in a pair show less vocalizing than calves that are housed individually. And so that's just one indicator of less stress. And then there's also other research that has shown that their reaction to new things, so novelty, they're more willing to try new feeds, they approach new feed items sooner, they consume more, and that they're more adaptable to changes. And that's important because they do encounter a lot of change over their lifetimes.
And then another one, it showed a cognitive and behavioral flexibility. How exactly, if you had to just pull one or two points out, how do they show that?
So this touches upon what I mentioned about adaptability, and the way that they tested it was they devised an experiment where calves were essentially taught how to play a computer game. So mm-hmm. they had to discriminate between different types of stimuli, and then the key in this well-known study is that the calves had to learn when the rules change, and the calves that were housed in social groups were able to adjust and learn that the rules of the game had changed, whereas the calves that were reared individually did not catch on. And so it was a pretty clever experiment. It obviously was an artificial testing scenario, but if we extrapolate to what calves have to experience in real life, reversal learning is something we expect them to do. We expect them to be flexible and adaptable to things in their environment to be able to cope with change.
And then also creates a better animal as far as the producer is concerned. It's kind of a triple win situation.
Right. And so the first win is for the calf's welfare. So in terms of her ability to cope with stress and cope with change, obviously that's important from the producer's perspective too. But then the second win is that there are several studies. So it's not just one study that have shown that calves that are housed in pairs or in social groups have better dry matter intake of solid feeds. They have better growth and weight gain. And then there is also a third potential win. So a research group at the University of Minnesota recently surveyed people coming to the Minnesota State Fair, and they found that pair and group housing was more acceptable to dairy consumers than individual housing. So that could be a third win, but more research is needed.
I want to go on that, the public reacting to it. So public perception plays into this. I mean, in agriculture, when you can get the public to agree with something that you're doing, that is a huge, huge win.
Absolutely. And I think it is important to keep in mind that our consumers today have a lot of choices. And so thinking about consumer perception or public acceptance is really critical to the long-term sustainability of the dairy industry, because we want to maintain the consumer base. So in this particular example, if there are practices that are more palatable to the public and are beneficial for the calf and work well for the dairy operation, it's really a great example of a win-win-win story.
I'm sure that you get a lot of questions from producers all across Wisconsin saying, well, I'd love to, but I can't do that because of, and what are the reasons they're telling you?
The top reasons that I hear are, first of all, concerns about health, because research that did come out of UW-Madison in the last few decades led to this common practice of housing calves individually. And it's not that the researchers then were wrong, or, you know, scientists can't make up their minds. I hear that kind of criticism all the time. It's that science is a process, and that we've learned a lot since then, and the context of production is different. So we've made a lot of advances in calf housing and ventilation, in nutrition, in our sanitation and biosecurity practices. And so one of the concerns or questions I still get is, well, what about health? And so it is a very complex issue. It's not that pair housing or group housing is completely without health risk. It's that we know a lot of these other best practices really matter. And so people can manage pair group house calves successfully and have very low morbidity and mortality rates. So that would be one set of concerns. Another common set of questions that I get is around cross-sucking. So that's an undesirable behavior. So when calves are housed together, they can suck on each other's ears or navels and teats, and this is considered problematic. But there are strategies that can be used to reduce that behavior. So there's some research that's already been done, and then my lab is also working on ways producers can manage that problem. And related to that is also feed competition. And one thing that those two things have in common is if you feed calves more milk, it reduces both of those unwanted behaviors. And then a third set of questions is, you know, I'm interested, but infrastructure investment is perceived as a barrier. So I don't have a calf barn. I don't have the housing facilities. How can I make this work? And so part of my message is there isn't just one path to success. It's not that there's only one right way to pair or group house calves, and people can often work with their existing housing and management. So some of the research we've been doing in our lab is looking at pair housing calves using existing individual hutches. So it's not putting two calves in one hutch, it's putting the hutches side by side and connecting them with a fence. And it's not because that's the ideal way to pair house calves, but because it's a feasible way. So that's an example of how people can make do with what they have.
And do you think down the road that Wisconsin farmers will take more of a liking to this, or at least give it more thought?
Absolutely. I think in the conversations I've had in the last 2 years, there's been a lot of interest, and it's part of what's driven the research direction a few of my graduate students have gone in, because we want to help producers implement successfully. So we have research showing why pair housing is beneficial, but how do you actually make that work? And so we're trying to answer these questions around feed competition and cross-sucking, as well as thermal comfort, so heat and cold stress. And I have heard a lot of interest, which is why we wanted to do the survey now. We'll continue to analyze it and see what people really in our region are doing, and then we'll assess again in a few years and see if there's been uptake and what kinds of questions as well as success stories people have had.
That is Dr. Jennifer Van Os, assistant professor in the Department of Dairy Science at UW-Madison. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Josh Scramlin.